Man came to the keep. None left it. Its windows looked down on desolation. From these windows Ged looked out, as he kept by himself in his high tower room day after day, dull and heartsick and cold. It was always cold in the tower, for all the carpets and the tapestried hangings and the rich furred clothing and the broad marble fireplaces they had. It was a cold that got into the bone, into the marrow, and would not be dislodged. And in Ged's heart a cold shame settled also and would not be dislodged, as he thought always how he had faced his enemy and been defeated and had run. In his mind all the masters of Rok gathered, Genscher the Archmage frowning in their midst, and Nemerly was with them, and Ogion, and even the witch who had taught him his first spell, and all of them gazed at him, and he knew he had failed their trust in him, and he would plead, saying, "If I had not run away, the shadow would have possessed me. It had already all Skjorg's strength and part of mine, and I could not fight it. It knew my name. It knew my name. I had to run away. A wizard Gebeth would be a terrible power for evil and ruin. I had to run away." But none of those who listened in his mind would answer him, and he would watch the snow falling thin and ceaseless on the empty lands below the window, and feel the dull cold grow within him till it seemed no feeling was left to him except a kind of weariness. So he kept to himself for many days out of sheer misery, and when he did come down out of his room he was silent and stiff, and the beauty of the Lady of the Keep confused his mind, and in this rich, seemly, orderly, strange court, he felt himself to be a goatherd, born and bred. They let him alone when he wanted to be alone, and when he could not stand to think his thoughts and watch the falling snow any longer, often Serret met with him in one of the curving halls, tapestried and firelit, lower in the tower, and there they would talk. There was no merriment in the Lady of the Keep. She never laughed, though she often smiled. Yet she could put Ged at ease almost with one smile. With her he began to forget his stiffness and his shame. Before long they met every day to talk. Long, quietly, idly, a little apart from the serving women who always accompanied Serret, by the fireplace or at the window of the high rooms of the tower. The old lord kept mostly in his own apartments, coming forth mornings to pace up and down the snowy inner courtyards of the castle keep, like an old sorcerer who has been brewing spells all night. And when he joined Ged and Serret for supper, he sat silent, looking up at his young wife sometimes with a hard, covetous glance. And then Ged pitied her. She was like a white deer caged, like a white bird wing-clipped, like a silver ring on an old man's finger. She was an item of Benderesk's hoard. When the Lord of the Keep left them, Ged stayed with her, trying to cheer her solitude as she had cheered his. What is this jewel that gives your keep its name? He asked her as they sat talking over their emptied gold plates and gold goblets in the cavernous candle-lit dining hall. You have not heard of it. It is a famous thing. No, I know only that the lords of Oskil have famous treasuries. This jewel outshines them all. Come, would you like to see it? She smiled, with a look of mockery and daring, as if a little afraid of what she did. And she led the young man from the hall, out through the narrow corridors of the base of the tower, and downstairs underground to a locked door he had not seen before. This she unlocked with a silver key, looking up at Ged with that same smile as she did so, as if she dared him to come on with her. Beyond the door was a short passage, and a second door, which she unlocked with a gold key, and beyond that again a third door, which she unlocked with one of the great words of unbinding. Within that last door her candle showed them a small room like a dungeon cell, floor, walls, ceiling all rough stone, unfurnished, blank. "Do you see it?" As Ged looked round the room, his wizard's eye caught one stone of those that made the floor. It was rough and dank as the rest, a heavy, unshapen paving stone, yet he felt the power of it as if it spoke to him aloud. And his breath caught in his throat, and a sickness came over him for a moment. This was the founding stone of the tower. This was the central place, and it was cold, bitter cold. Nothing could ever warm the little room. This was a very ancient thing. An old and terrible spirit was prisoned in that block of stone. He did not answer Sarah yes or no, but stood still, and presently, with a quick, curious glance at him, she pointed out the stone. That is the Pteranon. Do you wonder that we keep so precious a jewel locked away in our deepest hoard room? Still Ged did not answer, but stood dumb and wary. She might almost have been testing him, but he thought she had no notion of the stone's nature to speak of it so lightly. She did not know enough of it to fear it. "Tell me of its powers," he said at last.
It was made before Sigoy raised the islands of the world from the open sea. It was made when the world itself was made, and will endure until the end of the world. Time is nothing to it. If you lay your hand upon it and ask a question of it, it will answer according to the power that is in you. It has a voice, if you know how to listen. It will speak of things that were, and are, and will be. It told of your coming long before you came to this land. Will you ask a question of it now?
No. It will answer you. There is no question I would ask it.
Well, it might tell you, Sarah said in her soft voice, how you will defeat your enemy.
Ged stood mute.
Do you fear the stone?
She asked, as if unbelieving, and he answered, yes. In the deadly cold and silence of the room, encircled by wall after wall of spellwork and of stone, in the light of the one candle she held, Sarah glanced at him again with gleaming eyes.
Sparrowhawk, she said, you are not afraid.
But I will not speak with that spirit, Ged replied, and looking full at her, spoke with a grave boldness. My lady, that spirit is sealed in a stone, and the stone is locked by binding spell and blinding spell and charm of lock and ward and triple fortress walls in a barren land, not because it is precious, but because it can work great evil. I do not know what they told you of it when you came here, but you, who are young and gentle-hearted, should never touch the thing or even look on it. It will not work you well.
I have touched it. I have spoken to it and heard it speak. It does me no harm.
She turned away, and they went out through the doors and passages till in the torchlight of the broad stairs of the tower she blew out her candle. They parted with few words. And that night Ged slept little. It was not the thought of the shadow that kept him awake. Rather, that thought was almost driven from his mind by the image ever returning of the stone on which this tower was founded, and by the vision of